B-Pod Studios.
Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
You know, this was not written by Prince. This is just a
really?
Word for word, like, ripoff
of a Prince song off 1999 called Lady Cab Driver.
That is absolutely correct.
And they also probably used the same exact drum machine.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. They went to Paisley Park and said, hey, use that. Be perfect.
Michigan's own. All right, so I'm seeing this Odell Beckham videos again. Everyone comes off as an a-hole.
Yep.
Everybody comes off as an a-hole. So Odell Beckham is just the worst. Like, I get it. You have money. And then he's, like, going around and handing money to people and just, you know, wants to show off that he's got, like, a big role. So he's doing all that like a jackass.
He's grabbing the bullhorn from the band and stealing it. And meanwhile, the 70-year-old band director is trying to quietly pull it back and throw him in, like...
Yeah, Dan was telling me they have this really obscene chant that they do at like every game. So, and then Odell Beckham's in the locker room, but there's like cops in there trying to take away cigars.
Yeah,
they, what are you doing?
Yeah, I know. All the guys are smoking cigars after LSU wins, and you know the police officers are like, you know, kind of being a little too pushy about you put your cigars out.
Yeah, I mean, they just won the national championship. Why don't you let them smoke cigars? And then Odell Beckham, for some reason, decides to smack one of the cops on the ass, which is dumb.
But you have to set it up right, because not only do you smack him on the ass, there's like a 4 to 5 second leering.
Yeah.
As he's looking at the cop's ass, he's bending over, he's like, ooh.
He's making the decision if he's going to smack him. So the story is the cops don't do anything to him. Then the cop goes back, and Rich is right. He's probably catching hell from everyone.
Yeah, so Odell Beckham goes back and rears and hits the cop on the rear end. Now, as I said, I can't tell, but it does – I can't tell, like, for sure. But it does look like he's got a gun on his belt, too.
Oh, yeah, well, he's a cop, yeah. And so he hits him on the butt. So cops leave everything. Cops leave. Odell Beckham probably goes and, you know, like –
Odell Beckham, by the way, after he smacks him in the butt, the cop turns around and looks at him, and Odell Beckham was about to, he's like staring in the eyes, and he starts rapping in his face.
All right, well,
and then the cop's just like, "All right, dude."
So the cop goes home. The next day or two, he wants to charge Odell Beckham with sexual assault.
Yeah, so that was that's the thing that's being underreported right now, which is pretty fantastic, is that the original charge, because, I mean, this guy's obviously embarrassed, and he's like, all right, well, you know, well, screw this guy. Yeah, I should probably charge this guy. And he went to get a warrant for his arrest where he said that he wanted sexual assault for slapping him on the butt. And here he is. This is from the ESPN. Goes, video shows the slap, and he goes, ends up getting a warrant for simple battery in connection with the incident. The report said authorities originally wanted Beckham charged with misdemeanor sexual battery, but a judge denied that request, and they said it was more appropriate just for the assault. So now you've got the Browns having to make a statement. You've got Odell Beckham Jr., who knows what's going to happen to him.
Well, nothing's going to happen to him, except he's going to have to go back to New Orleans and stand in front of a judge for a misdemeanor. I mean, it's not like he's going to go to jail.
He just wanted to be King S. You know, he wanted to be the guy and take a moment. This was their moment, and he wanted to be the guy who was more important than that moment.
Well, it seems like everyone wanted to be more important than the players. Seems like the cops wanted to be more important than the players.
It was, by the way, someone said it was stadium security, not cops. But I believe it was a police officer that filed that report. Reported as a police officer, but I could be wrong.
If it's a stadium security, it's even worse. Like, get out of there. Like, get out of the locker room.
So the stadium. So just to follow your logic, Rich, if it is stadium security got the smack on his butt and then complained to regular police, and New Orleans Police Department said, I want to file charges. Wouldn't any cop in his right mind say, will you stop it?
Well, we've heard from Brookline 911 that you gotta show up.
Yeah, that you have to do.
And then you get to waste everyone's money.
It's a police officer. People say it's obscure, but the report is it's a police officer. And it looks like a police officer. Now, and you know what? Okay, the one thing I'll say about the police officer, sure, you know, maybe he shouldn't have been as vocal about having them put their cigars out. But that's his job, man. I mean, someone probably told them to do that. I know that there's different levels, but at least that can be justified. But you never, ever, ever put your hands on a cop.
Well, I have never in my life, nor do I intend to, and I appreciate the jobs officers do, but I think you would have police officers tell you right now that the number one concern after a national championship game shouldn't be if they're smoking cigars in the locker room. You know, a lot of things can happen after a game, and you have two fan bases that are incredibly drunk, and some are happy and some are upset. I think I'd turn my attention outside of the locker room. And then the one guy has to, like, pick up his Gatorade and show the cop his Gatorade, because maybe he was going to narc on him for drinking, too.
Maybe.
But, I mean, you can't be going around patting guys on the ass or patting girls on the ass.
The only other thing that about that whole situation that really kind of gives me douche chills is that video they keep showing of Joe Burrow sitting there smoking his stogie.
Oh, it's the smoke worst.
The day's last cigarette. Remembering what she said.
Because he's like all pensive. Like, yeah, he's like sitting back.
That's right. He's turning the page.
Yeah, he's just sitting there. First of all, I don't know why anyone likes cigars in the first place. You can't inhale them. And second of all, he's just sitting there with a cigar, like, yeah, like, just leaning back, like.
Oh, it's so uncomfortably awkward.
Yeah, like, everyone went douche crazy. The whole place fell apart. I don't know. There's phone calls, but I don't know what they want.
Yeah, let's take some calls.
Okay. Do you know what they want or who?
I have no idea. Let's have some fun.
All right. Danny, go ahead, sir.
Danny. Oh, well, things are going
smoothly. Hello?
Hey, Danny, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? Sorry. I think that he's pressing these charges because he wants to sue. That's definitely why he's doing it, because I can't see like him really caring about him slapping him on the ass in the midst of a celebration. That's all I wanted to say.
That's a good point. Yeah, he could be setting it up for a class action. Not a class action, for a civil suit.
Not a big fan of that. I mean, listen, I'm not even really a big fan of him having a warrant out for his arrest, but there was just so much jackassery that I guess you got to do something.
It's funny that you mentioned Burroughs, because I think Burroughs is the biggest jackass out of all of them.
Yeah, I don't think there are any of the players, right? I mean, worse than Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yes. Him, at least he was handing money out. Like, at least some people got joy from it. Can you imagine if you, like, playing high school football, because, like, the chance we're never going to play, college football, and, like, on the last game of your career, like, someone on your team just kicked back and, like, put his feet up and had a stogie.
And he just, like, slowly blows it out.
Yeah, and he's like, finally I can relax. Just me in a stove.
And the LSU athletic department comes across as jackasses in this, too, because remember when the story came out that Odell Beckham Jr. was giving money to players? And they were like, oh, no, that was fake money.
Yeah.
That's not real money. And then a video came out that it's real money. And then Joe Burrow himself said, oh, yeah, they gave me real money. Like, you know, we had an incorrect report that it was fake money.
Well, it's also, like, I think a federal offense to have fake money. I don't know. I was surprised it had Chuck E. Cheese on it.
Somebody said smoking in the locker room would more than likely trip the building fire alarm, causing chaos. I get that. I understand.
Yeah, it's illegal to smoke inside. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm not sure that's the case in New Orleans.
Either. Someone should just arrest Joe Burrow for being too tortured. And
just thinking about a year gone by, gave everything I got. Yeah, now I finally can put my feet up for a couple days.
He's like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon. He lives his life on the edge.
That's right. He goes back to his trailer. Wakes up in the morning with a bottle of Jack next to him.
He wakes up, cuts his pizza with a scissor.
Right.
Eats it for breakfast.
With sunglasses on. But then somehow manages to still be jacked. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say the reason they had to press charges after it went viral is they can't set that precedent where you can just slap a cop on the ass and then everybody says, well, you didn't press charges on OBJ. So yeah. once it went viral, that was their only choice.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Again, I don't encourage anyone to slap anyone on the ass. So that would be one thing that I wouldn't want to do.
No.
Because they got, what's his face, for Christian Slater. He had to go to court a bunch of times because he slapped a lady in the ass.
Well, just like, what are you doing? I mean, I know what Odell Beckham did. He was, once again, trying to be king ass in the locker room, trying to be just, look at how cool I am. I can slap a cop on the ass and get away with it. That's how important I am.
And Burroughs just saw the whole thing and took it in. Guys.
Blowing the smoke rings.
Pulls his cowboy hat down. Yeah, I think Burroughs came off the worst.
He really did. I mean, the worst off the field. On the field, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah, he was sensational, but off the field.
By the way, have you heard the players who are already tweeting? Like, I can't wait to sack that guy's ass.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was some guy from the Steelers. I forget some defensive player that's in the Bengals, in the Bengals division. It's like, man, I can't wait to sack that guy's ass. I wouldn't either. I'd see that and be like, all right.
There is a new generation of douche quarterbacks coming out. You got Mayfield, and you got this Burroughs kid.
So what's his name? Trevor seems all right. I got no reason to not like him.
No, but
Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence. Something will happen. He'll do something.
He's got a full year. People are going to find a lot of things between now and then.
Yeah. All right. We'll return.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
Carlo, he'll flip it back into the Penguins' end. Far point, Marchand across, Bergeron shoots, he scores. Patrice Bergeron had a chance to skate into an area pass, and he blasts one by Jarry in the glove hand. 3-1 Bruins.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Zoe giving you presents?
It is one of the people, one of the fine sponsors of tonight's Pucks and Paddles, Top Shelf Cookies.
Oh, sweet.
Who are legitimately some of the best cookies I've ever had, so much so that I bought a bunch for them after last year's Pucks and Paddles. I went online and ordered them because I thought they were so delicious. But they're going to be there tonight as well, as Fred and I learned this morning. Us not having to do much at all tonight, which is amazing. So it's going to be a ton of fun on a Friday night. We'll be able to drink with the listeners, have a little bit of a good time, which should be nice.
It's one of these Fridays that I wish we didn't have an event because I don't want to drink.
Well, unfortunately, I think we all know how that's going to go tonight, even with me. But this is tonight's event is going to be one of those situations where Fred and I we were told we were going to be on stage to kind of welcome everybody with Patrice, and then we play ping pong. And Fred, you are playing against who?
I am playing against the one and only Andrew Raycroft.
Okay, all right. So you have that. I'm against Chris Wagner during the first round. And then after that, I think we just do the play-by-play for the final match.
Yeah.
And then stand on stage with the check, and then we're just drinking with the listeners. And
well, I got to hit the VIP. I mean,
you got it on swole.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get past the velvet rope, I mean, then we can do something.
That should be a good time. I heard Joe Murray's going to be out there, so if you want to meet one of the Bankroll Boys as well.
Yeah, as long as he can stand.
I think he needs to sit to really focus.
You want some of these? These are awesome.
Well, of course. Absolutely.
The man takes the elevator.
That's true. off one floor. That's a good point.
But last night was a game. It's always nice when you do Pucks and Paddles after like a good game. Because it's never fun if they just got the doors blown off them the night before or whatever. But tonight, it's going to be good because yesterday you saw the attitude that you wanted to see over the past week or so come out on the ice. It's so much so that even Torrey Krug had a fight. And you're not going to see that often. Even Torrey Krug was joking afterwards that you know, hopefully that's his one for the year. But if he steps up, then you have to do it. Bruce Cassidy actually talked about how they had a team meeting beforehand.
We had a different meeting on some things we needed to do better as a group. It wasn't necessarily a challenge. It was a reset on supporting one another all over the ice. And you hope if you do that to get pucks back, that it'll bleed into anything that else that transpires, i.e. the physical play, everything else that goes with it. And I thought that part was good.
But we talked about this briefly this morning. I still can't get over one of the best and weirdest parts of last night's game was that they had a tribute to Tuukka Rask and his 500th game. And I immediately thought when I saw them tweeting that, I'm like, isn't he in concussion protocol? I thought that, you know, usually when you are in protocol, you're not supposed to be around like big crowds or lights or things like that.
Yeah.
But it was actually a really good sign that yesterday he was indeed there, and he was there with his wife, and he was, I mean, you know, what are the two things you try to stay away from? Bright lights, loud noises. He was around both of them
and
yesterday.
The old ball and chain.
So he was down there. It looks like she's pregnant, so congratulations to them as well. But it was also kind of weird to honor his 500th game on a night where he wasn't playing. So just another little strange thing there. But they did make a video tribute to him, and it was a bunch of people that know Tuukka Rask who kind of send their best wishes. On the video was Chris Kelly, Sean Thornton, Adam McQuaid, Dennis Seidenberg, Milan Lucic, who has frosted blonde hair now. And I was saying before, he looks like someone who would have been like the backup guitarist for the band Lit. Yeah! Like, just the dude in the background of the early 2000s alternative rock video. Hey, it's the guy from SR-71.
Yeah, it's not Tibbs. It's just he has taken his hair and he's just said, let's make this bad boy blonde.
Yeah, right. It's not quite Guy Fieri, because Fieri's like more Tibbs. It's like the whole thing is blonde.
Yeah, Fieri lets it go a couple colors, but yeah. So, Milan Lucic, was there an audible gasp from the crowd?
I don't know if there was a gasp. But it definitely was like, oh, huh? Whoa, what? Why?
Yeah.
But
what are you doing?
Listen, you know, the guy can do what he wants. Anton Hudobin, also Tim Thomas. That was kind of cool. Don Sweeney, Cam Neely. And then at the very end of the video, you had a little shout out from this guy.
Hey, Tuukka, Lars Ulrich, Metallica, hitting you. Congratulations on 500. NHL games. That is crazy cool and incredible. So thank you for being a Metallica fan. And so on behalf of Kurt, James, and Rob, and myself, congratulations on 500 NHL games, and we'll see you out there somewhere soon.
You seem very familiar with the career of Tuukka Rask.
Apparently, Don Sweeney paid his $50 on Cameo to get him to record that. Hey, it's Lars reading this for the first time. It was handed to me 30 seconds ago. How do you say that name, Tuukka? Congratulations on 500 NHL starts. And then they did give him...
Congratulations on 5 starts. Just we're going to do this every five games.
But, I mean, and then they gave him this double kick, like, drum, amazing drum set. Now, was that from Metallica or was... Okay, so Metallica gave him the drum kit.
Well,
Lars did.
Lars doesn't have to pay for his drums. Come on.
So
has Ludwig come and do it.
Ludwig's everywhere. He makes it rain Ludwig and pasty cymbals. So there you go. It was a good game last night. And as I said, one of the main things you get out of it is that Tuukka Rask, it's not as bad as we all might feared it would
sure.
be.
I mean, you have to have a serious, serious concussion to have like sound and light bother you like that. That was like the Savard situation where he couldn't get out of the dark. I mean, there's definitely different
levels
of
but that just happened. And that's why I think it was such a shock that he was out there and looked so good and you know, was amongst the people and the fans and the volume and the lights. You know, it's obviously a good sign, and it's a problem that they know that they had. You heard Torrey Krug after the game talking about, we know that we lost a step, and he talked about having to fight. Hopefully it was the last time that he would do it, and that was purely because the attitude of that team as soon as they got on the ice last night was, we know what everyone's been saying, and we don't want to be that team.
They get Chipotle for lunch.
They do. We do not want to be the team that's soft. We also don't want to be the team that gets squirts later on, like the BC basketball team did. Remember that years ago when
I
the
do.
Old Chipotle situation?
Yes. But it says right here on our itinerary that the Chipotle arrives.
How great would that be if because of Punks and Paddles, entire BC team just got Bruins team got cleaned out?
Like they had to call up the entire AHL team.
It's like the Stand By Me, Lard Ass Logan scene, but upside down.
Yeah. I just like that it says that when we're not allowed to touch it.
No, you can't touch the Chipotle.
No, for they don't like it when you go back in that room.
No.
There's nowhere else for us to go. Okay, John in Vegas. Hello.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, John?
So real quick, just wanted to wish you guys good luck at Pucks and Paddles tonight. And also I wanted to express my regret that Beetle would not be defending his title. I'm very unhappy about that.
Yeah, because you had a ringer play with Beetle last time, didn't you?
Yeah, and I actually looked over some of the Bruins, like basically the auction rules this year, and I think they kind of changed them out to try to prevent that situation. They only allow one VIP ticket if the winning bid is under $1,000. I also noticed you two are the only radio guys this year, so there's no other like jabroni you can get in for cheap.
Well, I don't think Rich and I have went for very much, but John, you will be missed. Thank you, sir.
Well, the tickets were sold out, but just maybe I might have found an alternate route in. So,
okay, this does not, John, you have to make it very clear that this has nothing to do with Rich and I.
I have nothing to do with this.
100%. I actually even reached out to Lockhart, and he told me that even he could not get me a ticket. So, you guys have nothing to do with it. But, you know, I may have found an alternate, favor to call in. Nothing to do with you guys. Also, I will not be disrupting the event, to be very clear, if there are Bruins PR listening. Just want to attend. Have a great time. So we'll see if this all works out.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
That is the sound of about a dozen people having a heart attack.
Yeah.
You don't understand. You don't understand.
Kelly's in the other room.
The
already.
Repercussions from last year.
Someone in the Bruins just got up and flew out of their office and is fast walking down to the end of the hallway.
Can all of us, everyone in this room, hands in the air, I swear I had nothing to do with
this. I swear I had nothing to do with this
on
at all.
Bible, I swear.
Not a chance.
Not one thing that I have anything to do with this.
I've had no email, phone contact, nothing. Nothing. No Skype, nothing with John in Vegas.
I'm never going to hear the end.
If he doesn't do anything, he doesn't do anything.
Good. He's not going to do anything.
That's what he said. He said he was not going to be disruptive. He said he didn't have a ticket.
Our promotions director's in the other room. Just
listen. It's an event for everyone.
It is. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great, and it always is. And the Bruins, you know, they raise a lot of money, and the listeners raise a lot of money. You and I, the people who ended up winning our bids, related somehow. They have the same last name.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going on there?
All right. What do we got coming up in the stack?
I'm sorry. I'm a little shaken. That was a phone call I didn't know we were going to get this morning. Today's one of the rare days that I'm kind of glad our old program director isn't here. He would have had a heart attack.
I would say Rick might be having a heart attack. All right.
That may be the case. All right, there's a movie that just came out starring a major Hollywood superstar that is just getting absolutely brutalized. One of the worst reviewed movies of the year. On top of that, one of the biggest roles that launched a guy's career in a movie ended up almost going to the last person you'd expect.
All right, we will have all that for you. Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
'98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Do you know how much of an F up you have to be for Drew Rosenhaus to drop you as a client? It finally happened yesterday, and apparently the video of him screaming at the cops and his mother of his children in front of his children, I guess, was the final straw. Drew Rosenhaus terminated his relationship with Antonio Brown until he seeks counsel, they're saying. In other words, I am not going to stand by your side until you're in a place where you can make me money. Then I will gladly take your money. Yeah.
This is a guy who represents
thank you, Drew Rosenhaus.
He represents Tyreek Hill, this guy. He's dropped Antonio Brown.
I mean, how many times did you say, well, no one's going to work with this guy now, and Rosenhaus stayed by his side?
Well, the difference is here that he might never play football again.
Well, after that whole thing with the cops, and the cops, by the way, have given back any money because I guess that he used to donate money so he could practice at their field. There, I guess there was some police athletic field that they had where he used to go and would work out. And they, of course, released a statement completely condemning what he did. And then they said, here's all your money back. We don't need your money.
Okay.
He sponsored a flag football team, too, or something like that, too. And they said, nope, that we don't need your name on anything.
Well,
thank you
I think
much.
I'm not overstepping my bounds as a radio personality, but I think he might have something wrong mentally.
He might. And so yesterday, Adam Schefter tweeted out the news saying Drew Rosenhaus conditionally terminated his relationship with Antonio Brown today until the free agent seeks counsel. And Antonio Brown retweeted it and said, football season over. You can use a palette of at blanks by mail with at penises by mail. So I guess there's a thing that he has. It's bags of gummy penises. It says eat a bag of blanks on the side of it.
Oh, well, so, don't mind if I do.
To that, Adam Schefter retweeted that and said, thanks for retweeting me.
Well, I mean, what gives? We can get the penises or no?
If you like gummy penises, then why not? You can order them at blanks by mail.
Well, I think that if you offered me any kind of gummy and there were penises on the table, I'm going penis.
Speaking of blanks, Kyrie Irving was talking about his team after his return and throwing them under the bus. We played the clip the other day where he said that the team needed more pieces and, you know, to go along with him and Kevin Durant. And that he basically just said, well, everyone sucks but me on this team. And Charles Barkley had a comment about that yesterday.
Okay, if I'm the coach, first of all, I'm going to pull him aside and say, yo, man, that ain't your job to criticize our team. That New Jersey team plays hard every single night. Brooklyn, they really, really compete. And then you add, let's say, we don't even need KD. He's not there. We bring in Kyrie.
You're a four seed.
We made the playoffs without you. And for you to come in here and play half the season, then say, well, we're just not that good. We're missing some big pieces. Like, no, dude, we made the playoffs without you last year. We're bringing in an all-star player. We should be a top four seed easily.
If only there were signs.
Great minds. Mm-hmm. I've often said they've made a mistake.
I'm looking at the stats from last night's game because they lost to Philadelphia, and that alone is. They lost to Philadelphia by 11.
Yeah.
Kyrie was 6 of 21, 14 points, but the key is, in a game in which his team lost by 11, he was a minus 29.
Well, it's a good
you know
thing
how hard that
there.
Is to do in a game like that?
And on top of that, there are three guys, I think, who did better than him.
Yes.
The people he's calling out.
Right, because they had a system in place that was unique and was working. And then for some ungodly reason, they bring in Kyrie Irving of all players. I mean, there's got to be superstar players that aren't going to disrupt everything. And just immediately, I mean, the coach had this unique, like, fitness system and this unique, like, analytical system. And everyone's doing it. And look, we're overachieving. And then Kyrie just comes in and goes, I'm not doing any of it. So everything that works, everything that you've been doing that works.
Uh-huh. Oh, and I'm going to badmouth all the players that I've joined and the head coach.
Right.
While I'm here.
Right. When they're playing better than me.
So if you had to guess, what actor whose entire movies that they have made, like the catalog of movies, what actor total has made the most money? Not him, but his movies that he's been in, that he's appeared in, have made the most money. So think of it as what actor has appeared in the most blockbusters? Dan's got it.
Well, it's not Mark Hamill.
No, Mark Hamill's been in five?
Robert Downey Jr.?
Nope. He's not
Vin Diesel.
I don't think he's the star of really any of them, but he's the second or third build in a lot of them.
I don't know.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
Not only a member of the Marvel Universe, but he was in Jurassic Park, and he's been in a ton of other films. He's prolific. He might make like 5-6 movies a year. He's in Star Wars. That's right. He was in the prequels, the three prequels. He was Mace
Windu.
Three
ones that were loud. So yeah.
But either way, those made a lot of money. You add those together, and what is the movie that essentially launched his career? Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction, his role as Jules, was what put him into a stratosphere on a different level, and Quentin Tarantino did an interview on The Ringer, and they were talking about Lawrence Fishburne originally being offered that role.
Yeah, can I help you? Can you help me?
And you could start by giving me 15 pieces of chicken, motherfucker.
You never considered him for Jules?
Yeah, he turned it down. Yeah, he was offered it, and he turned it down.
I think that worked out for the best.
Yeah, it worked out for the best. He was offered Jules, and he turned it down.
Why would you turn down Jules?
I'll tell you why. You want to know why? I'll tell you why. All right. His people suggested he turn it down. It all happened. It's an interesting thing. I wrote Jules and Vincent for Fishburne to be Jules and Michael Madsen to be Vincent. And then we offered it to Fish. He read it. His people read it. And his people suggested that he pass. They said, you got to pass. You got to pass on this one. And the reason they suggested it is they said, okay, here's the deal. You could have done this last year, but the reason you hired us is to make you a leading man, to make you a star. So yes, if this was your searching for Bobby Fischer time, this was your class action time, then you could have done it. But you can't do that anymore. Now it's got to be Larry Fishburne in, ba-da-da-da-da. And you got to be above the title. And he was like, but I begin the movie. I end the movie. You're a supporting character. And they're casting John Travolta. You're supporting to John Travolta. You're a supporting character. Part of the thing is you got to say no to supporting roles, no matter how good they are, if you want to be a leading man.
So he ended up saying no to it. And another great thing about all of that is that apparently Die Hard 3 was just about to come out. So Die Hard 3, remember, it's Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson. Mm-hmm. But that role was originally written for Lawrence Fishburne. Lawrence Fishburne thought at that time that it was a given that he was going to be the guy because they had written for him. So he was doing this negotiation with the studio, and Lawrence Fishburne said, I want $1 million. Like, $1 million? We're not going to pay $1 million for this role. He goes, well, I mean, that's what I think I'm worth. And so at that time, the producers were at the Cannes Film Festival, and they saw Pulp Fiction, and they said, screw Lawrence Fishburne, I want that guy. And they got Samuel L. Jackson, and that movie ended up being massive, Die Hard 3. And from there on out, it was Samuel L. Jackson, superstar.
Weren't the two of them confused with one another in some TV interview?
There was an interview, and Samuel L. Jackson never corrected him.
No, he did.
No, he did. He got angry at him. Embarrassed the crap out of him.
You think I'm that? He said, you think I'm Lawrence Fishburne, don't you? Because we all look the same. Remember he said that?
I don't think he... Okay, you're right.
He totally called him out. It was great.
I don't think that he was mad, though.
He was laughing.
I think he was bemused by it.
Yes, but he went after the guy to make him look as bad as possible.
He didn't hold back. Yeah. He definitely didn't that
way. Maybe I remembered it wrong. All right, we'll find out what Zolik and Bertrand have on the way.
And I will read you the reviews of one of the worst reviewed movies of the year that's coming out today.
All right, fantastic. .985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is this movie that is being reviewed?
Doolittle. That's right. Robert Downey Jr.'s
Sherlock Holmes with animals.
Something that really needed to be done again.
It's the same character. It's the same character Robert Downey Jr. played in Sherlock Holmes, except it's a little more unkempt and speaks to animals.
I mean, I know why he did it. Probably because Disney gave him $1 zillion to do it. But you're Robert Downey Jr., man. I mean, you could pick anything you wanted, and you get $1 zillion to do it. So the reviews, it's got 17% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. And I wonder who the people liked it because, I mean, the reviews are, every once in a while there comes a movie where people just dig in. Like, right. Something so bad that, like, they crack their knuckles. All right, let's have some fun with this. Here's a review. One review just says, Doolittle. Well, it's better than Cats. That might be the most devastating one about it so far. They said, here's hoping the cast bought something nice with the money that they made, though to be honest, the only decent thing to do with it would have been to distribute it, a kind of movie malpractice award amongst the doctor's real victims, the audience. Somebody said, just when I thought Doolittle couldn't get any less funny or idiotic, Robert Downey Jr. sticks his arms up a dragon's a-hole, and I do mean that literally.
Oh.
So there's a scene in it where apparently a dragon gets an enema. Didn't know a dragon was a real animal, but that's the kind of movie you're dealing with. Failure this thorough has a virulent effect that reaches beyond one mere film. It makes you question the cinematic form itself. Is this thing uniquely bad? Or did movies always suck, and I'm just now realizing it? It was an actual thought that briefly passed through my head. Somebody said, who is Robert Downey Jr.'s performance as this character of Doolittle for exactly? It's a snuffling, shuffling, head-twitching collection of ticks with a physicality that's more evocative of a nervous squirrel than the actual CGI squirrel who accompanies Dr. Doolittle on his adventures across the seas. And then this one was just the weirdest one. The charm of talking animals, this one was from the New York Times. The charm of talking animals has always been dubious and will presumably fade as the natural world continues to disappear and more species become extinct. They said, increased awareness of our contemporary environmental crisis may explain why Doolittle is set in the past. Because if animals could really talk, they wouldn't be pleasantly cooing and chatting us up as the world burned. They'd be screaming.
I don't even know how you can make something where someone who doesn't talk talks after, look who's talking.
Well, look who's talking to, T-O-O.
Yeah.
Was two, okay.
That was sci-fi because that was John Travolta with the kid.
Let me see if I can get this, the lineage straight. Look who's talking, Bruce Willis, the baby voice.
Yeah.
Look who's talking to, Roseanne Barr, girl baby. Look who's talking as well, the third one, Joan Rivers is the dog.
I don't remember Look Who's Talking. I don't remember. Third one.
Did I nail it?
The third one?
It was called, like, Look Who's Talking
Now.
Look Who's Talking Now. That probably is, you're probably right. But I believe the third one, they went straight up dog on you. And they said, let's get sassy Joan Rivers in here.
They said, we've pushed the baby concept as far as it can go.
Apparently so.
It was only two, it was only worth two films.
By the way, speaking of Tarantino, do yourself a favor this weekend, Fred. you got to watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
All right.
Just watch it. You'll like it. I mean, it's one of those movies that, sure, it's 3 hours long. It doesn't feel that
way. If I'm at home, I don't care.
Yeah.
The length of the movie at home, I don't mind.
It doesn't feel that way. I just, Brad Pitt is really good in it. It's one of the rare movies that I want to watch a second time, like, now.
Well, listen, I will watch it this weekend. I would also like if Scott decided to come into the studio instead of standing directly outside of it.
You know, he's talking to our general manager, that's why.
Yeah, I'm sure it's real high level of stuff that's going on out there.
So we hopefully will see a lot of you out at Pucks and Paddles tonight with the Boston Bruins. As I said, it's always a lot easier to do these events when they come off a great win, which last night was against a good team. So Tuukka Rask was at the ceremony yesterday. I didn't see his name on the list for tonight. He might be missing, and who would obviously fault him for that? But everyone else seems to be there. Fred's going to be taking on Andrew Raycroft.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Me against Chris Wagner.
And I'm going to be there to root you both on. I feel a win for one of you today.
Excellent.
Now, don't look at me.
Okay. Because Rich, I feel a win for you.
Yeah. Unless Andrew Raycroft decides.
I lost to Rask in the first round last year. So
Rask was pretty good. I think Rask got to the final eight. Like, both years.
Like, when was the last time you played ping pong?
Last year.
Last year was
time.
The most embarrassing thing I ever did, I think, sports-wise.
Did you lose in the first round?
We were with Danton Heinen, and yeah, I mean, I couldn't even return the ball.
Dude, it's not even return the ball. It's that you have
to. It was over
so
quick.
It's that you have to rotate between you hitting it and your partner hitting it.
Right.
So if somebody, like, slams it towards
that.
You. Yeah, because you lose a point if you hit it when you weren't supposed to.
And we were doing that. We were out in, like, four volleys.
Yeah, I know. That sucks. You just
hey, good night, everybody.
Yeah, right. I played against Krug in, like, I should have lost within 2 minutes, but we didn't know how to keep score.
Yeah.
So, like,
you're supposed to be a ref that does that for
in a league.
I'm telling you, there's not enough refs for the table.
There's some league security guy there. It's a prick. he kept putting his hand on my chest and pushing me back when I was talking to Bergeron because Patrice used to come in with us. And Patrice's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, dude, I'm not stalking these guys.
When we're hosting, there's a room that is for the team that has beer
upstairs.
Yeah. And so, like, there's always the awkward conversation of, like, I'm coming in this room.
That's what about, will Sarge be able to get in that room?
Oh, yeah. Sarge will be there. The question is, will he make it upstairs?
He'll be there with the Wong father.
He'll absolutely be there.
I mean, Andy Wong knows. I mean, you're not going to keep him out of anything.
I passed by the restaurant outside the building yesterday and got a text from Sarge. He's like, come on in the restaurant. You know, Andy's paying for food. Let's sit down and talk for a while.
I got a text from him.
I was walking by, you know, those windows
really
in the restaurant
that?
Next to where we have the event.
So Sarge got mad at you for not sticking up for him?
No, we had fun with the video the day before you guys had it because it broke during our show, that video, and Hardy goes, oh my God. Hardy just got up and walked out of the room, and we're like, we have to do this at the end of the show. We did it. And at the end, I say, hey, good luck, Sarge. And Sarge, thanks for the support, buddy.
Yeah, he went out of his way to text me, invite me to the big Kowloon party, which unfortunately I will not be able to attend as it would take me 3.5 hours to get to Kowloon.
You're in the same spot I am.
Yeah.
I appreciate their invite, too.
I do appreciate it. And I will go to Kowloon one day.
I don't think I've been North Shore in a while.
I haven't been to North Shore since
like, airport's
BCN.
The furthest north of the city I go.
Yeah.
An airport's really east of the city, right? But like,
I can't wait until my son starts having his travel games for baseball. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
Those are always fun.
Nice weekend in North Conway.
I told you about that.
Got to hit Santa's Village.
Get him out.
Place is legit.
He wanted to do it.
Yeah. Talked to him after game 7. And a 5-hour car ride.
Yeah, I know.
And $250 a night at a hotel.
Yeah, I know.
And you don't sleep.
Oh, you don't like baseball heaven?
I'm just talking basketball. Basketball, name
easy.
It.
Travel basketball is easy.
Really?
Bad. No, no. Right now for him, because it does. You don't have to go.
15,
far.
20 grand a year wasted.
20 grand.
Wow. Flights, hotels, four tournaments, loser holidays.
I have a feeling your kids are a little bit superior athletically than mine.
That sounds like AAU to me.
That's high school though. Like you'll get there. All right. You'll get there, bud.
All right, you guys have.
You'll be spending all your time out on Long Island at those baseball camps.
I know that. All right, you guys have a great day. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.